Welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. On this week's episode, we have our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment, Loose Ends, where we dive into updates about colostrum, cleaning, kids' toys, and more. And we wrap it up with our weekly BFPs and BFNs. Let's get to it. Hi, welcome to episode 147. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Shauna.
How you doing? Give us your check-in.
All right, check-in time. So, okay, yeah, so I have a seven-week-old newborn here and a 26-month and four-week-old, very granular, you know, a two-year-old with almost two-year, three-month-old here.
And 2 years and change.
And change, yes. Not yet two and a half. Mm-hmm. And yeah, things are going here. So one of the things that's happening is we are closing in on the end of my mom's stay with us.
Oh, right.
She was very generous and decided to come down for 2 whole months to help us out after the baby was born. But you can do the math. The baby is 7 weeks old this week and she was staying for 8 weeks. So we've got one more week, not even a whole week. We've got like half a week left with her.
No. Are you so sad? How are you feeling about that?
Oh yeah, like I'm getting choked up every time I think about it, mostly because, well, it's like a combination of postpartum hormones and just more thinking about how Augie's going to handle it when she leaves. Like, he's gotten so used to her being across the street. She's staying in this apartment that's directly across the street. And so he'll like look out our front window and say, "Grandma's coming over," and see her crossing the street. And he asks about her when he wakes up from his naps. And it's just like, ugh, it kind of tugs at my heartstrings to think like I'm going to have to explain to him like grandma isn't here. So I think in the next couple days, we're going to start talking to him about how she's going to be going. Because it's kind of tricky because we don't want to start talking about it too early.
Right.
Right. Because their sense of time is basically non-existent, right? And so I don't want to be talking about it too early, partially because I start getting choked up every time and he's like, "Why is mommy crying?"
Yeah.
But also I want to give him some preparation. So I think we're going to start saying things like, you know, grandma's going to be going home and she'll be back and all that stuff. But yeah. So yeah, that's very emotional. And
yeah.
The other layer on it is like, as I talked about in my OMG, I'm freaking out a couple episodes ago, like, how the hell am I going to take care of two kids?
Yeah, she's been a huge part of helping out with that.
Yeah, because like she's come over basically for every nap time. So that one of, you know, so Corey and I can both go in and do nap time with Augie, with the toddler, and she's not going to be there. So we're going to have to start splitting that up. And it's been one of those things, too, where if the toddler's melting down and the newborn needs me, I can like just call her right now and be like, "Can you come over?" And she's been working, but she works from home. So doing telemedicine, so she can like come over and do it here and be a backup. So we have been actively looking for a nanny, as discussed. We had been talking about, you know, I was waffling about sending him to preschool, you know, with COVID, and also not even so much COVID worries as much as worrying that Augie was going to feel like we were shipping him off as soon as the baby was born. So we decided to start looking for a part-time nanny. And we found someone
who
came for a trial day this week.
How did it go?
It went awesome.
Good.
Augie loves her. She's this like young woman. She just graduated from college with an education degree, I think. She wants to go go on to get a master's in education, and she's super sweet. Her name is Amber, and I only say that because I have to tell you that Augie calls her Amberger.
That's so cute.
Which is, I told her it's a term of endearment since hamburgers are his favorite thing.
Oh, that's adorable.
I was embarrassed at first. I was like, "It's Amber, Amber." And he's like, "Hamburger, Amber."
I love that he's lengthening a name. Like, usually toddlers cut things down. He's like, "Let me add a few syllables in there.
Let me complicate this. Let me complicate this." But there's a lot of good things about Amberger, about Amber. Her name, her real name is Amber. And she's lovely. She's very sweet. One big bonus is that she is fully vaccinated against COVID. So that is definitely a plus, which means she can be without a mask indoors and just gives us peace of mind, which is really nice. And, you know, Augie just seems to love her. When she came over, they did a trial, like they just played in the yard, right? And I guess Corey went out to see what they were doing at some point. And Augie said, "Daddy, go away," when he was playing with Amber. So we're like jumping on her, like not physically, obviously, but we're just like, "When can you start?" Mm-hmm. Like, "You're not working with any other families, are you? Please come work with us." And so luckily, yeah, it looks like it's going to work out. She's going to come 5 days a week in the mornings from like 9 to 12:30. So, good. And then we'll be on our own in the afternoons, but I think it'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, she can't start next week. She has to start the following week. So we're going to have like 3 days without her.
That's good. You'll get a taste of what it's like without her, and then you'll be extra, extra grateful when she's around.
Exactly. And I mean, to be fair, Corey is here too, but he's trying to work. He has all these different projects going on, and it's really hard for him to get away. And he's always having these Zoom meetings he's having to run off to. So
yeah,
I'm very much looking forward to her starting and maybe getting a little help and maybe being able to focus a little bit more on the baby too.
Yeah, definitely. Get some one-on-one time with the little guy.
Yeah, because with Augie, like, I had all these hours upon hours of, like, staring into his eyes, you know, and doing all the things, singing songs and stuff. And I feel like with Sebastian, it's just like, "Here, kid, get in your swing so that I can deal with this toddler meltdown." Like, sorry that we're not bonding right now. But so, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Yeah.
Good. That sounds promising.
Very, very promising. So I'm really looking forward to that starting. And there's good news on the baby front.
Mm-hmm.
Sebastian continues to be the chillest baby ever.
Awesome.
And for the first time ever this week, he slept 8 hours.
Oh my God. Yay. That's awesome.
I was so like, you know, when the first time this happens, I'm sure you remember this with your kids. You're just like, "Wait, what? Is everyone okay? Like, what's happening?"
Oh,
like,
yeah,
you wake up and it's light out and you're just like, "Wait, huh? I don't understand." My boobs, too, were absolutely exploding after, you know, because they're used to feeding a baby once or twice in the middle of the night. And they did not do that. Mm-hmm. And they were enormous. Like, I forgot how big they can get when they're totally full.
Oh, my God.
And I hit a real mom milestone, which is I leaked out of my breasts for the first time ever.
Oh, my God. The first time ever? That's amazing.
I know. Isn't that crazy? I feel like everyone talks about it, and I had never had the problem. I think because my boobs are, they're pretty big and like pretty elastic. So I think they just have a lot of like storage capacity. But for the first time I woke up and I was like, "Why is the bed all wet?" And I was like, "Oh, my boob was leaking."
Well, now you know how it is.
Now I know. It's real annoying. Mm-hmm.
Yes, very annoying.
I'm hoping it doesn't stick around. But I also think he would have slept a little longer, but I needed him to like come nurse. I like had to do something. So he was just kind of stirring and I was like, "All right, kid, 8 hours is good. Let's get you on this poop."
Oh my gosh. Well, that's good. This is very promising. This is about what Elle was doing at this age. Like,
really?
Definitely sleeping huge stretches. Like, we would put her down at 7, do a dream feed at 10, and then she would sleep through the rest of the night. So that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm hoping I have a good sleeper like Elle. Gosh, the more I experience an actual good sleeper, the more I realize like what a bad sleeper Augie was.
Or just normal.
Or normal. Yes, I should say that. Normal. More average, I guess I should say. But I nurse him to sleep every night. Every night.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't done that like at all with Sebastian.
Really? Oh.
Yeah, he follows that like ideal eat, play, sleep thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just blows my mind. I didn't think it was possible, but he'll eat. He'll be up. This is not during the day, I should say. He'll eat. He'll be up for 60 to 90 minutes, like right on schedule. And then I can sort of gently rock him to groggy and put him down and he falls asleep. It's just like, "Did you read the books? Like, you read the baby manual," apparently.
That's what he was doing when he was in your stomach. Just reading up.
Yeah. He was probably hearing Augie run around like a maniac and was like, "I'm just going to have to be chill because this is not going to work out if I'm not."
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm really looking forward to more of those stretches. To be fair and honest, it was one night and one night only. He went right back to like sleeping 5 hour stretches after that. So,
oh, okay.
It wasn't like all of a sudden he's sleeping through the night every night, but there's hope on the horizon.
I felt I think so.
So good after that.
Yes.
So yeah, that's my check-in. We're looking forward to some help and sad about my mom leaving next week, but don't want to get ahead of ourselves. So let's hear your check-in. What's going on with you this week? And how old is Cece these days?
She is 2 and a few months. I honestly just cannot keep track of it. I think it's three, two
well, that
years
sounds
and three
right.
months. I don't know.
She's a month older than my guy, and mine's 26 months. So
okay.
Yeah.
So there you go.
There you go.
And she's good. She's fine. There's not a lot going on at our house this week. Not too much to report.
Mm-hmm.
But I did want to talk about the fact that she is now keenly aware of when I work.
Mm.
Like when I bring the laptop out and kind of sit on the couch and work while I'm supervising, which is a lot of how I work from home, honestly.
Yeah.
And before I could just kind of do it, I don't think she really connected what the computer was and what I was doing and blah, blah, blah. And now it's like she knows. It's like, oh, the computer means work, which means mom is ignoring me for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's taken to just walking right up to my computer, palming the back of it and slamming it shut and saying, no work, no work. I'm like, no. And I was working outside the other day while they were playing, and she came up with the hose, which we've talked about. She's obsessed with the hose.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, 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 get that hose away from here. She didn't spray it, thank God. But she like slammed my computer shut with the nose hot, with the hose nozzle. So like droplets got all over it. I was like, oh my God.
I'm sorry. I'm still laughing about a
nose hosel.
Okay, sorry. I'm so sorry. That's very distracting for me. That was very funny, though. Okay.
I think that we should make an invention called the nose hosel.
The nose hosel.
Just like an automatic tissue dispenser built into your nose or something. I don't know.
Million dollar idea.
Yes.
Go on Shark Tank.
They always come out of this podcast, our $1 million ideas.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Really.
Strangely,
really
though, our $1 million has not arrived yet.
I know. What is the hold up?
We should check the tracking on that.
Yeah, let's do it. So anyway, she's not happy that I'm working.
Uh-huh.
So that makes me feel super guilty that I'm like trying to multitask. But I'm like, this is my life. This is what I have to do.
Yeah. Well, it's what so many people have to do right now, right? This last year has just been working from home with kids mm-hmm. all the time for so many people.
Yeah. Yeah. And I got away with it for a while. Now it's just like, no work. No, no, no work.
Mm.
I'm like, all right, fine. I'll squeeze it in after you go to bed or whatever.
Ugh. Except that's the worst.
I know. I know.
What do you think the reason behind the no work is? Like, she is jealous of it and wants you to pay attention to her, or is it just like a power thing?
That's a really good question, because I have talked recently about her defiance, and she mm-hmm. does like to say no to things.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of it does have to do with I'm not paying attention to her, and she mm-hmm. wants my attention. She's becoming a little more attention hungry, and she keeps trying to get my undivided attention. So I think the computer, I don't interact much. You know, I'm like looking mm-hmm. at stuff, typing, doing my thing, checking email, blah, blah, blah. I'm not playing with her with the hose or whatever it is she wants to do. Sit on my lap, you know, read books, who knows? So I think it's a little bit of both.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that makes sense. It's happening here too, but not specifically about a laptop. But like anytime I look at my phone, Augie comes over and he's like, I want to watch a video or I want to see a picture. Like he's always trying to turn it to him. And I'm like, mommy just has to answer this one text message or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like not having it at all.
Yes.
But I don't have to work as much in front of him. So, you know, it's because I don't have a full-time job the way you do.
True. I tell my kids I'm working when I'm on my phone, too. They think that my phone is my work, but it is, because I check Slacks, I check emails, I do a lot of stuff on my phone while I'm on the go without a computer. But even sometimes, like if I'm texting you and they're like, mama, I'm like, I'm working. Let me finish this work really quick.
Hey, podcast is work. And also, you know, even though we're just maybe complaining about how we miss going to restaurants, that's all fodder for the podcast.
Exactly. When I talk to you, I am working. And of course, they do. They want to get a hold of the phone themselves to take pictures. Oh my God, my phone is filled with thousands of selfies of these kids, you know, and of pictures of all whatever around the house. Does your guy do that too?
He has just started to kind of take pictures, but he likes to walk around with the front facing camera on so he can like see himself and make faces. And he knows how to take pictures, but he doesn't do it too often.
Mm-hmm.
He has figured out how to hang up on my brother when we're FaceTiming and then immediately call him back. Like he's figured out the icons.
That's smart.
And he'll call back and he'll hang up and I'll be like, you hung up on Uncle Jeff. And then he'll like press the Uncle Jeff icon and call him back and say, Uncle Jeff will pick up and like, what happened? He's like, I hung up on Uncle Jeff. I'm like, okay, you did.
Oh my God. They're so smart with these devices. It's amazing. You know what Elle does with my phone that really cracks me up? I walk into the TV room the other day. She's watching TV. She has my phone with her and she's pointing my phone at the TV, recording her TV show with my phone. I'm like, what are you doing? And then she pauses her TV show so she could watch it back on my phone. I mean, for like 60 seconds. Like she did a pretty long stretch of just recording Peppa Pig or whatever it was. So this is the kind of stuff that's filling up my phone. It really cracks me up.
You're like, how come I have no storage space left? Like, oh, I have a really bad bootleg recording of Peppa Pig on here.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my God, they're so funny. Okay, so the other thing I was going to talk about this week is she is talking a lot. She's a little chatterbox. By she, I mean Cece. You know, I've been kind of concerned about her language and all this stuff, but she really is. She's singing, talking all the time. Her pronunciations are still adorably incorrect a lot of the time, but I'm really keyed into what she means a lot of the time. Probably like 80 to 90% of what she's saying, I can understand, even if it's not correctly pronounced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like the special mom skill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I try to help her with her pronunciations, and it's just so adorably 2-year-old the way this goes down. So one of the words she doesn't say correctly is pee-pee. You know, like she can say poo-poo, P-O-O, P-O-O, poo-poo. But instead of pee-pee, she says titi, titi, titi and poo-poo. And so I'm like, honey, say puh, puh, puh. And she goes puh, puh, puh. I'm like, good job. And I go puh, 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 pee-pee. And she goes puh, 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 titi. She just doesn't get it right. And like for her little ponytails, you know, she, instead of ponies, she calls them Tonys. It's like, yeah, you got two Italian guys on top of your head. You got your Tonys up there.
Tony. Or the old, if you do three, it's that old R&B band, Tony.
That's what I should do. And it's the same thing. I'm like, it's pony, puh, puh, pony. She's like, puh, puh, Tony. So she's really hooked on her mispronunciations, but we are working on them. So that's my little language update for the
week. That's cute. It's so funny too, because like she has the physical ability to say the P's, but just doesn't. Like it's so interesting how the brain works.
Mm-hmm. It's like her brain has connected onto the pronunciation, and like that's just what it is. I could see her brain working this way when she tried to learn the word grandma. Like she always had trouble saying grandma or finding a word that fit, you know, for that, because she lives with her grandma, right? My mother-in-law lives with us half the time, so she's around a lot. And all of a sudden, one day, she just started saying daya. I don't know why, but in her brain, that was the correct way of saying grandma. And like, there's nothing we can do to change her from saying that. It's just like her brain just decided that's it. And that's what it is. And it's actually really adorable. Daya!
It's very cute.
Daya!
She'll be corrected soon enough. Like, enjoy the mispronunciations, because I feel like, you know, they'll be gone before we know it.
Yes.
I love how cute they are.
I know. They're so cute. But yeah, that's pretty much it for us this week. Should we move on to our special segment?
I think we should.
Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids. But you know, they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why StoryWorth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give StoryWorth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner.
Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, StoryWorth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted StoryWorth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
That's StoryWorth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at OneSkin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP. Okay, we are back, and our special segment this week is Loose Ends, where we tie up some things that we have left dangling from previous episodes. And Shauna, we're just going to ask each other questions and see if we can update our listeners and each other.
on some stuff.
Yeah, let's do it.
So, Shauna, do you have something for me? A question? Something I've left hanging in the past that you want to know about?
Yes. So, I know that for a while you were still nursing Augie, like mm-hmm. to sleep and maybe a couple times a day. How is that going? Are you guys still tandem nursing?
Yes. Yes, so I am nursing him like two times a day right now, one to mm-hmm. two times a day. I had gone up to three or four times a day when I had first brought the baby home because I was trying to like make sure that he felt included and all that stuff. And I think it was creating a little bit of an oversupply. So I am paring it back. Like Sebastian has this thing that Augie never had, which is like when he's nursing on me after like once I have my letdown, he'll like sort of like pull back and like kind of unlatch and he'll do it a bunch. And I think it's because the letdown's really strong and he's kind of choking.
Yeah.
And I think part of it might be because I have a freaking 2-year-old who's like got a lot more suction power.
Right.
Nursing a couple times a day. So I'm trying to kind of pare it back a little bit. But the first thing he says when he sees me in the morning is he goes, "Mommy, I want some boo-boo time." And we're like, "Hi, good morning to you too. I want some boo-boo time. Boo-boo time." I'm just like, maybe good morning, mother. I love you. How was your night? Not boo-boo time, boo-boo time. So...
Oh, man. Let your mom have a cup of coffee first, kid.
That's exactly what I tell him, actually. I'm like, "We will have boo-boo time. First, I have to get coffee." And he's like on the floor going, "Boo-boo time." Oh, Jesus. But, you know, one reason I'm actually kind of not wanting to pair him back more is that I got my first COVID vaccine recently. And it's showing that there's some antibodies present in breast milk after you get your vaccine. And so I'm kind of hoping that me being vaccinated gives him a little bit of protection. Even though I kind of emotionally am like, "Okay, let's wean this kid," I'm like, "Well, shit." I should, if I can, it's awfully good timing that I'm still nursing him. So I'm nursing both of them. I have only once nursed both of them at the same time.
Oh, really? Okay.
And I think I will only do that once because...
Why? Just too much.
Yeah. I'm never going to post this on the internet. Sorry. I don't mind photos of... Like, I think photos of nursing people on the internet are beautiful and wonderful. I just don't personally want this particular photo up because there's a lot of boob out. And also, I don't know if my boys would want that to be out in the world. So I won't post this on the internet, but I will send it to you. Do you want to see it?
Yeah.
Okay, one sec. So the circumstance was that Augie was feeling really needy and Sebastian really needed to nurse, right? And so I was like, "Well, let's see." Someone told me that they tandem feed their kids and it brings them closer together. It really bonds them. So let's give it a try. And my mom was there. So my mom helped me arrange them because it's not an easy thing to get a newborn and a toddler arranged on your boobs in a ergonomic way. Did not work out ergonomically for me, by the way. It was very uncomfortable. But here, I'm going to send you this. Also, like 5 years ago, if someone was like, "You'll be sending your friend pictures of your boobs with like no problem," I'd be like, "I don't know. I don't think so."
Oh, how momming changes you. Oh, gosh. That is really adorable, though. That's pretty sweet.
It's very sweet. And also, like, you can see how my back, like, I was just like, I'm also like not wearing a nursing top. So I have to like hike my shirt up.
Oh, yeah.
It was uncomfortable. But
yeah, there's a lot of exposure going on. And you do look hunched over for sure.
Oh, yeah.
The kids are loving it, though. I mean, they look cozy as can be.
They would be perfectly happy to do this forever. But I think it's one at a time for the moment.
But yeah, you have two boobs, two mouths, right? Two boobs. It's perfect, Laura.
It's meant to be. Remember, it's not. But yeah, still nursing him. Still going. No end in sight, really. Okay, I actually have a question for you, but before I ask my question, I need to tell you something.
Oh, okay.
Which is, in our last episode, we did a What the Heck segment, episode 146, and you told me about how you like pretend there's animals in your kids' mouths to help you brush their teeth, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was like, in the episode, I was like, "I'm trying that tonight." And I wasn't joking. I literally tried that night and I've been doing it every day since because it works wonders.
Yes. Oh, my God. I'm so glad it works for you guys, too. What animals do you do?
Oh, I do all the animals. So I'm like, the thing that really works for me is I'm like, wait a second. Hold on. Is there a monkey in there? And he just opens his mouth full like, I'm like, okay, oh my gosh, there's so many monkeys. And I'll get enough. And then he starts laughing. And then I'll be like, wait a second. Wait a second. No way. And then he opens his mouth wide and I'm like, there are horses back. I just go through whatever animals I can think of in a time.
Yeah.
But yeah. Awesome. I can't believe how well it works. I thought by now it's been like a week, he'd be over it. Nope. Every time. Yeah. And it makes it so much fun.
Uh-huh.
It's no longer a struggle. So listeners, if so you're great. Struggling, do what Shauna says. She's wise. She knows.
Such a good trick.
It is so good. Okay. But I do have a question for you, which
okay.
is in episode 135, you talked about your mom win of getting a massive sandbox mm-hmm. into the house or into mm-hmm. your backyard. So I want to know, how is it holding up? Are the kids still into it? How is it?
It is awesome. I am
so glad
I got this thing. I was just thinking about it yesterday, actually, because the weather is warmer here. Mm-hmm. It's been in like the low 80s, so which is the weather the kids love, right? Because they hate wearing clothes. Like, you know, they would just rather wear underwear outside or shorts or whatever. And so it's a perfect weather for them to just be outside all day. And the sandbox is like the number one destination outside for them.
Oh, good.
We have these two big cantilever umbrellas that we have in the backyard, and I moved them right over the sandbox so that it's in full shade all day. And they just sit out there and make cakes out of sand and bury things, bury treasure, and, you know, draw X's on top of it and dig it up later. And I let them bring the hose over there and make sandy mud. And it really is awesome. And I have a little like beach chair near the sandbox. So mm-hmm. I just plop my ass down and lean back, relax outside in the nice weather while they play in the sandbox, which is all I ever wanted. Really.
It's like you're at the beach.
Yes, it feels like I'm at the beach. No, it doesn't really. No. I was really trying to talk myself into that one, but it's a close second.
That's amazing. Okay, I'm still a little jealous of the sandbox. I'm not jealous of the process of getting the sandbox, but
yeah. That was intense. It's over now, though. It's like IVF, right? You put all the work in, and then once you get the reward, you just forget about all of mm-hmm. that pain and trouble, and you're just so grateful.
Or like pregnancy in general.
And pregnancy in general, exactly. Yes. Okay, I have another question for you, still on the breast milk train.
Okay.
What did you do with all that colostrum that you painstakingly collected by hand in tiny bowls?
You make it sound like way more work than it really was. Like, it was about a minute every other day I did. But yeah, I did squeeze my liquid gold colostrum into little Pyrex bowls and then put them into syringes, stuck them in the freezer, and that's where they stay. They have done nothing. I don't know what to do with them. I think I'm going to donate them to uh-huh. someone if anyone wants it. I'm not like asking if anyone on the podcast wants it, but like if there's someone that I know is like going to have a preemie baby or something, maybe I will give it to them. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It was kind of a waste. My doctor was right. My doctor like kind of gave me an askance look when I told him I was doing it. He's like, yeah, I wouldn't put too much energy into that. I was like, well, baby, we need it in the hospital. He was like, sure. Okay.
Oh, God. That's great. What's the freezer shelf life of colostrum?
I don't really know. I'm assuming it's like breast milk, like 6 months. It's mm-hmm, in the back of the mm-hmm. freezer. But mm-hmm. yeah, so.
You could put it into a smoothie for the kids.
Oh, I could. I could. I just bought smoothie cups for Augie, actually, because I'm going to start making smoothies. That's part of my plan, at least, to try to get him more vegetables. I'm going to sneak some spinach in.
Yes. Good idea.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. Just a bunch of random colostrum in the back of my fridge that hopefully I'll remember whenever, like, I'll remember to do something with and not just uh-huh. find it, you know, uh-huh. in months or years when it's time to move and be like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. yeah.
Whoops. I feel like Steve one time caught a bug of sorts and put it in the freezer.
in a Ziploc bag because he had some intention. I don't know. He was going to show it to the exterminator or something to be like, what is this bug I found in my house? But like, of course, he forgot about it. Mm-hmm. And then I found it months later. And it was just like, what the fuck is that? Oh, my God. Like, found a random bug in my freezer. So hopefully that doesn't happen to you with your colostrum.
Yeah. I mean, it would be less gross than a bug. Yeah. When we went on our honeymoon, we went to Hong Kong and Thailand. And I decided not to bring my wedding and engagement rings because I knew we were going to be like in the ocean a lot and stuff like that in Thailand. And I didn't know what to do with it because I don't like own a safe or anything. So I put it in foil and then inside of a mason jar labeled Magnus stool sample.
Smart.
Magnus is my cat. Uh-huh. And stuck it in the freezer. And then I had to tell my dad. I like texted him. I was like, by the way, if something should happen to me while I'm away, don't throw away a jar that says Magnus stool sample. It's not cat poop in the freezer. It's actually my wedding and engagement rings.
Oh, that's a great thief deterrent. That's brilliant.
I mean, I'm glad I didn't have to test it out, but yeah, hopefully. Mm-hmm. Okay, I have one for you.
Okay.
In episode 138's check-in, you revealed that you weren't sure if Cece had ever gotten her chickenpox vaccine. Do you remember this?
I do remember that. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever find out, or is it still up in the air?
I don't know. I still don't know. One of your friends suggested I look into like the itemized billing from the appointment where they supposedly gave it to her. And I was like, that is brilliant. And then, of course, immediately was like, well, that's falling off my radar immediately and have not done that yet.
Yeah. It seems like something also you would just have to get her like antibody titers done, right?
I don't know. I'll have to ask the next time we go to the pediatrician and see if there's something I can do to actually find out whether or not she got that. She has not gotten any more of those little bumps or rashes.
Yeah, which is what inspired that discussion, right? You had some like random bumps and you thought, uh-oh, maybe she has chickenpox.
Yes, she had some random bumps, not me.
Yes.
And we have not seen those again. So I don't know what those were. Sometimes, you know, she gets a reaction from Steve's beard, like if he'll be like nuzzling her, tickling her or whatever. She has very sensitive skin. So I'm wondering if maybe she had just a reaction to his beard stubble.
Yeah, Augie has the same. And then he'll be like, pokey, pokey. But then Corey will shave and he'll still be like, pokey. He's like, I'm not pokey. It's one time I'm not pokey.
Smooth. All right. Here's one for you. What other cleaning and organizing have you done since your nesting and cleaning urge kicked in after having a baby? Anything?
Ooh, yeah. Okay, so I've become really, really into spa rolling everything. Do you know about spa rolls?
I can envision a spa rolled towel.
Exactly. Okay.
But that's all I know.
Yes. Yeah, so like this was a thing on TikTok, no surprise, like how to do a spa roll with your towels. And you like fold it into a corner, like it's very origami-esque and you roll it and it makes it really nice. The way you see it, health spas, they're all like rolled up and you just grab one. But I've taken it a step further and now I'm spa rolling all my burp cloths.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And then I also figured out a very compact and even way to fold my triangle bibs. Mm-hmm. So I sent you, I think I sent you a photo of this the other day.
Yes. I saw the spa rolls. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So I've been very into the spa roll and it is a little extra to be doing it with the burp cloths, but it makes me happy. Mm-hmm. And it's really more like a folding thing, less than a cleaning thing, because I just don't have time to do a lot of deep cleaning. I'm still working with the I didn't have the barkeeper's friend, did I, when we last talked about it?
You were waiting for the arrival of it.
Of course. Oh, okay. It's glorious. It's amazing, Shauna. Oh, my God. I was so excited about how like white and pristine it made my like toilet, my porcelain sinks. It's spectacular. Highly recommend.
Have you never used Comet, like the same thing but with bleach in it, basically?
Are you talking about the powdery Comet?
Yeah. Because isn't that similar?
Oh, so there's two types of Barkeeper's Friend. There's like a liquid and a powder. I'm using the liquid. which is so much easier, in my opinion. Like Comet, it always kind of freaked me out because I feel like it would, like, you'd put the can down and it'd fly up in the air. And
yeah, and they never come with a lid. So you're just like, okay, now I have an open can of Comet.
Exactly. Yeah, no, weird. I'm using, it's like the soft scrub or whatever version they have. Yeah.
Okay.
So you just squirt it on and then you let it sit for a second and I just love it. I love it so much.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But otherwise, it's been mostly folding. I figured out how to like fold toddler pajamas into these little like packets. You like tuck it into like the bottom hem and that way they all stay together. And yeah, it's basically my only creative outlet these days, Shauna. Thanks for bringing it up.
Whatever makes you happy. After Elle was born, I got really into the Marie Kondo folding style. I wasn't into the like getting rid of stuff element of her, but I was like obsessed with folding each little onesie. I mean, tiny little newborn onesies with like the tri-fold and then fold them again so that they like stand upright and like putting them all in the drawer for... That has gone out the window with the second kid, but I understand the impetus to fold neatly. So that's what I'm really getting at here.
Corey, well, when we like fold laundry together, he looks over at me and I'm like doing my very tedious spa rolls and stuff. And he's like, how do you do that? And I try to show him. He's like, can I just fold the burp cloths in quarters? I was like, I'm like, yeah, if you want to be basic, but sure.
As you roll your eyes in judgment. Whatever, dude.
Yeah, but I'm enjoying it.
I get it. It's satisfying to have a perfectly folded little stack of shit. It's great.
If I'm going to get armchair psychologist on myself, it's like, it's a very small and manageable place I can have control over my life right now. When the rest of my life is kind of like totally out of control and big new changes and scary things and all that stuff. But I can fold my bibs into perfect little squares and spa roll my burp cloths and feel safe.
Yes, meditative. I hear you. No shame.
Yeah. Okay. I have another question for you.
Okay.
Okay. So in episode 135, you had a BFN, which was that your water and power bill was super high and you were wondering if it was normal or what was going on. So did you ever get to the bottom of it?
Oh my God. So yeah, around that time, it was like $1,300 for the 2 month cycle, which is so expensive. And then the next bill came and it was like $1,600. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, I'm like paying in increments, trying to, you know, budget this crazy bill into our lives. And finally, at that point, I was like, okay, I need to call the power people and figure out what's going on. And I was like, I've been having really high bills and this last one's just crazy. And she's like, oh, yeah, I see what happened here. Like, they made an estimate on your electric, but then they went and they really read your electric and it was like higher than what they estimated. So it was like this whole thing. But what it came down to is really there's nothing wrong with your bills and you just use a lot of electricity, probably because the entire family's home all the time because of the pandemic.
That's what I figured.
She's like, it was really hot back in the fall, remember? And I was like, oh, right. I guess you're right. Ugh.
Yeah, I mean, AC is a big expense and it was really hot.
Yes, it was very hot. So it's dropped down a little since then because we're not using the AC anymore. Mm-hmm. We did get a gas fireplace, which I think was one of my BFPs. And then I got the bill for the using that thing. And I was like, oh, Jesus.
It's just keep on coming.
Yeah. So use your gas fireplace sparingly. That's all I have to say.
That's a good tip. Hot tip.
Hot tip.
That actually reminds me, I need to go turn the air conditioning down. Like, it does not need to be so cool in our house right now. So I'm going to go do that. And then do you want to come back and do one more loose end each?
Let's do it.
Okay.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors, there's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor, and I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important.
And therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although of course it is helpful in those situations too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's bestsellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LolaVie.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. Okay, we are back and we have a few more loose ends to tie up. Shauna, you have a question for me?
I do. So you have been a mom of two children now for 7 weeks. And I'm just wondering, what is the best part of being a mom of two and the hardest part of being a mom of two so far?
Wow, hitting me with the big philosophical questions at the end.
Yeah, or they could be simple. I mean,
Let's see. I think I'm just going to start with the hardest part because it just jumped out at me, which is like the logistics so far are the hardest. Trying to figure out a way to tend to both children when they both need you at the same time. I think that's the hardest part, because especially with Augie, like he was so used to getting his needs addressed in a very timely fashion, being the only child. And now that there's a little squirming newborn who makes his needs known, you know, you have to say like, Augie, I see that you really want a graham cracker right now. Right now I am nursing Sebastian, so it's just going to have to wait. Thank you for your patience. And then, you know, patience of a toddler is non-existent. So
yes,
that's definitely the hardest part. And, you know, it's hard emotionally, too, because you want to make sure both kids get attention from you and you just feel pulled in two directions. I imagine that probably doesn't get better as time goes on, or maybe it does. Does it?
I think it does. Now that my girls are older and can play better together and express their needs better, and often their needs are similar now, you know, it's like they both need a snack and they need the same kind of snack. And, you know, I go to the same place in the kitchen to get the snack. It's not like I have to go everywhere. It's gotten
easier, I think.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah. So there is hope. That's mm-hmm. good.
mm-hmm.
And I think the best is just watching them together, like specifically watching Augie with his baby brother. It's so cute. I feel very lucky that even though Augie's had some like regressions and some emotional difficulty with the new baby showing up, he's just so affectionate to mm-hmm. Sebastian. Like the first thing he wants to do is like give him a kiss. Anytime he sees him, he's like, I want to kiss him. And I'm like, okay, you can kiss him.
Aww.
And then he goes, he gives him a kiss and then he goes, he likes that. And I'm like, he does. Aww. He does like it. And then he'll be like, he's smiling. And I'm like, he is smiling. He loves you. And it is actually really cute. Like he's just started social smiling, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he smiles at Augie all the time. It's Aww. Like the minute he sees him, he just smiles. And he, if he's like fussing, Augie will come over and give him a kiss and he stops.
It's really?
Like, yeah. It's Aww. So sweet. So, and as long as I know they're not going to like bonk heads or he's going to smush the little baby, it's just mm-hmm. the best to watch them snuggle.
Awesome.
I have so many pictures on my camera roll of them just lying down next to each other
mm-hmm.
and Augie just like nuzzling Sebastian. Mm-hmm. So,
so
that
cute.
Really makes it all worth it. It really
yes.
does. Yeah. So I wish I had like a big philosophical question for you now. I do have a big question, though. It's an important one that I think our mm-hmm. listeners are going to want to hear,
mm-hmm.
which is, so you have purchased a lot of big ticket items for your girls during this pandemic, mm-hmm. including a bounce house.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I already asked about the sandbox, but I'm curious, like there's the bounce house, there's the big inflatable panda water toy. There's more I don't even remember, but I want to know like which toys have withstood the test of time and mm-hmm. which ones maybe do you wish you hadn't bought?
Mm-hmm. Everything we bought had a lifespan that was worth it, I think,
okay.
you know, because yes, I was indulgent, especially the beginning of the pandemic. So I was like just shell shocked by it all. And the fact that my kid couldn't go to preschool anymore and get exercise and entertainment. So I bought a bounce house, a big swimming pool with a pump, the inflatable panda sprinkler. And since we bought like one of those up and down roller coaster things for the backyard, a climbing dome. It's like almost embarrassing to list all of the things we've bought. But, you know, it's a pandemic.
But you weren't going anywhere. You weren't going to playgrounds.
Yes.
You weren't going to preschool. Like you basically created preschool at your house.
I tried. Yes. And some of the winners are the bounce house has been awesome. I've gotten too lazy to take it out lately because it kind of requires me to move furniture out of the way and all the, mm-hmm. that jazz. So I've kind of gotten lazy on that one. But the times that we have played on it, it's awesome. It's just a hoot. It's so fun, you know, for little kids to be able to bounce around like that. The big Intex swimming pool was the other huge
oh,
hit
yeah.
because Elle is a water baby. Like ever since she was tiny, she's just like obsessed with water and swimming. And she had been taking swimming lessons and then we had to cut all that out. So having the swimming pool was great. The up and down roller coaster thing takes up a lot of room in the backyard. And for the amount they play on it, I'm already kind of like, oh, maybe I should, you know, get rid of that one. And the climbing dome, they lost interest in that so fast.
Really?
So fast. Like Elle climbed on it a few times and Cece almost fell on her head on it. And then like the shine wore off and it's just sitting there. And it's another one of those things that takes up a lot of room. So
yeah,
trying to figure out like, should we, you know, give it away? How am I going to sneak out such a big thing? Because the second I try to get rid of a toy and they get wind of it, it's like, mm-hmm. but no, I love that thing. And I'm like, you haven't even touched it. Come on.
Yeah. You haven't looked at it in a year, but it's like, no, you can't take it.
Yes.
It's my favorite thing ever.
Yes, exactly. Swing set continues to be a big hit. We didn't buy it for the pandemic, but I bought a lot of accessories for it. Lots of different swings, a double disc swing that the kids ride on together and love, and like a rope ladder swing we tied to a tree in the backyard. And that is a blast that gets used all the time. They love that. So there have definitely been some hits and misses. And the panda, that was totally a miss. I don't think they really loved that all that much.
Hmm.
I loved it.
I want to play with it.
I was very disappointed. I think because the sprinkler, you know, sprinklers are cold, you know, like
oh, yeah.
the aerated water.
The hose water.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
But I'm definitely going to set that up again this summer and force them to enjoy it. Don't you worry.
Okay. And now that we're on our way to being vaccinated, can we come over and enjoy it as well?
Oh, yes, please. I need someone else to come enjoy all of this stuff we've purchased. We're setting up the bounce house for your guy and the panda and the whole nine yards. We'll keep the roller coaster in the dome until he comes over, too.
Okay. Okay, good. Good. Yeah, we just have about another month or so.
Yes.
So
yes.
Hang in there.
Yay!
Okay. Well, I think that's it. That's all my loose ends questions answered. How about you?
Yes, same, same. Should we move on to our BFPs and BFNs?
Yeah, let's do it.
We're back with our weekly BFPs and BFNs. Laura, you are up first. What do you got for us?
Oh, I have a BFN.
BFN. Bummer. What is it?
Which is, our house is too small. Our house is too small.
I know. We know that. We've been trying to tell you that. The listeners ask about it. I ask about it. What are you going to do?
It's too small. I mean, okay, it's a privileged problem. It's a privileged BFN. It's workable, right? Like, we're making it work as best we can. It's just under 1,200 square feet. We have a small yard that everyone knows is terraced, but it's not a death trap anymore. But it's just becoming increasingly clear that, like, it's too small for us. Mm-hmm. We are just using every corner available as storage. We just don't have anywhere to put anything. Things are overflowing. One thing that I've noticed that, like, has been a real indicator to me is that instead of being excited when we get presents from people, like grandmas will send us a new toy, we dread it.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's nowhere to put anything.
Right.
So this has really just come to a head with the new baby, because the new baby brings all this extra baggage. And yeah, he's in our room in a snoo right now, but eventually, and it's going to happen faster than we realize, he's going to need his own crib, and Augie's still in a crib. And mm-hmm. do we put them in the same room? How do you sleep train when they're in the same room? And I know tons of people do it, and it could be fine. But we are now thinking, like, we just don't want to. Like, if we have the option to get into a bigger house, we should. Mm-hmm. So we are starting the process of looking for a new house and selling ours.
Mm-hmm. That could be a BFP, though. I mean, that could be exciting.
Yes, it could be. I think the reason I have it as a BFN is because it's scary. Change is scary, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm already, like, ugh, dreading the fact that, like, moving will probably cause more regressions in Augie. Like, he's already had a big regression with his, like, sleep and potty with the new baby, and then, like, adding a new house and neighborhood and all that to it. It's just like, ugh. I almost don't want to deal with it, but it would be good. You know, the whole plan is to get more space, like to have his own bedroom mm-hmm. or both the boys, and to have a big flat yard. Like, those are the two things we want, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bedrooms for each of the kids and a big flat yard.
Yes. Is an office space important?
We have to have some kind of office space. Like, it doesn't necessarily have to be a fourth bedroom. It could just be like a little den area or a nook. But yeah, mm-hmm. we have to have some kind of office space as well.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so we're looking for either four bedroom or three bedroom plus like a little office somewhere mm-hmm. in the greater Los Angeles area.
Okay.
And we've met with our realtor, who's a good friend of ours. She was your realtor, too.
Mm-hmm. I love her.
And she's the best. I'm just, you know what? I'm going to plug her. If you are in the Los Angeles area and you're looking for an amazing realtor, go to Emily Broughton, and we'll put a link in our show notes, because she is just spectacular mm-hmm. and the nicest person ever. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't try to, like, force you into houses just because she wants to make money. She's like the most trustworthy, amazing, knowledgeable person you will ever meet in real estate. And she has like amazing fashion.
Yes.
And loves kids. So yeah, hire Emily. We'll put a link in the show notes.
Mm-hmm.
But Emily came over and like went through like the seller's roadmap and the, you know, we went over listings and stuff, and it's good. It's good. It just, I couldn't decide if it was a BFN or a BFP, but when I like listened to my gut, it felt like a BFN because change is scary and hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, packing with a newborn and toddler will not be fun when that time comes.
No.
But being in a larger house that's a better fit for your family will feel good. When that time comes, it will be a BFP.
It will be. So that is a loose end I'm setting up for a later
episode. Exactly.
But yeah, I'm sure I'll be updating everyone as we go through. But that's it for me this week. Shauna, do you have a BFP or a BFN?
I have a BFP.
Oh, good.
Yeah, this is not kid related. This is more self-care related.
Okay, good.
I got a new product that I love. Steve randomly ordered this for me on Amazon and like without my knowing, and it just arrived as a surprise. Like, it's just like, I'm just going to get Shauna a present in the mail. Like,
that's nice.
I know. It's so nice. I'm already like excited about that element of it. It's like so sweet. And it was one of those stick brush hair dryer combo things. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yes, I know.
You do.
Because I just got one too.
You did. Okay, so here's the one I got. It's the Revlon One Step Hair Dryer and Volumizer Hot Air Brush is what it's called.
That's the one I got.
You did?
That's the one I have. we're matching. We're twinsies.
Oh my God. How have I not had this like since the moment it came out on the market? I did not know it existed. It makes drying my hair like 1 million times easier and faster, because I would try to do like a blowout with a hairdryer and a brush, and I'm clumsy AF with that stuff. I can't do that, and it just looks terrible.
I feel like maybe if people are not familiar with it, like, we should just describe it a little bit more. So it's basically like a big oval shaped brush, like a round brush with air that shoots through the hot air that shoots through the middle. And so it's like a blow dryer and a brush in one.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do like a blowout with one tool instead of like holding a hair dryer and using a round brush.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
I absolutely love it.
Which is like, it's such a simple idea. Like, why has this not existed before?
Yeah. I feel like I've had an iteration of this like way back in the day before they were well made, and it just like didn't work well. And so I was skeptical. He got this for me and I was like, this is completely random, but okay, thank you. That's so cool of you. And I gave it a try and I was so skeptical because I have really thin hair, you know, like really fine hair. I hate saying my hair is thin. That sounds so sad. Okay, I have fine hair. And I just didn't think that this thing would do anything for me. And I used it the first time, and like within 5 minutes, I had blown out my whole hair and it looked like I had just gone to the hairdresser. I swear to God, I never achieved that by myself with a hairdryer. I feel like I'm advertising this product and I'm not. I swear to God, I'm just like really excited about it. So I was like, honey, thank you. Oh my God, this thing's amazing. I love it.
That's really nice. I actually got mine for cheap off of like Facebook Marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
Someone in my like mom's group had posted it and it was brand new, but they were selling it for like $15. And I was like, yes,
yeah,
I will take that.
Do you like it?
I want that. I do. I only used it once so far because even though it makes it so much easier to blow dry your hair, I still have a 7 week old.
Yes.
So it's hard enough to take a shower, let alone blow dry your hair. But I did I just like had to use it the day I got it. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, this is amazing. It made my hair look so good too.
Yeah.
So I hope to use it more, especially now, like, going to be vaccinated, going to be like going out into the world again at some point, I guess.
Yeah.
Got to blow dry your hair.
Yeah. I'm going to look ready. I've been practicing getting ready for my Zoom meetings. That's like literally the only thing I do my hair for. And 80% of the time, I don't even do it for those meetings. But yeah, I love it. Just want to put that out there in case anyone else is looking for something like that, because I think it's fantastic.
Sweet. Amazing.
Yeah. But that is it for me. And I think that's it for our show. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think we got to go blow dry our hair now.
Yes, let's do it. Listeners, if you have anything you want to share with us, you know, we want to hear from you. Laura, where can they reach us?
We are on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at BFB Podcast. We also have a website, bigfatpositivepodcast.com. If you want to send us an email, you can always include a voice memo into that email. Just send it to contact@bigfatpositivepodcast.com. Finally, if you're on Facebook, you should join our Facebook community group. Just search Big Fat Positive Community, request to join because it's a private group, and please answer the 2 membership questions because that lets us know you're not a robot and we can send you straight through to the amazing, wonderful, supportive, great group we have going on in there.
Please rate and review us wherever you listen to podcasts, especially Apple Podcasts. That helps other people find our show. We so appreciate you taking the time to do that for us. And please spread the word. Let your friends know about BFP. Our show is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye.
Bye.